today is Lederson, who's the founder and managing partner of Peterson, Oliver, and Pohl, a law firm. Larry's going to talk to us about their litigation service. Hello, Larry. You on the line?
I am, Doug.
Hey, Larry. It's good to talk to you again. Welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show.
Well, thank you.
Larry, why don't you start out by telling our audience a little bit about your path to Peterson, Oliver, and Pohl?
Well, what we primarily do is work through insurance companies defending individuals and commercial clients. And so I guess the path began when I got out of the service and became a commercial casualty underwriter for an insurance company. Went to law school at night, and when I passed the bar in Texas, I was transferred by that insurance company out to California, where I ended up running their West Coast operation from San Francisco to San Diego. I then left and joined a private practice and eventually became the managing partner of an Orange County firm, it was a Los Angeles firm, and I started their Orange County branch. And we primarily fought insurance fraud claims, and we grew rather large. And then about 16, 17 years ago, I started this firm with two other lawyers, with the primary emphasis at that time was fighting insurance fraud. So we were very active in that arena, and we were very active in trying cases back in the late 80s, early 90s. And for a while there, we went through 24 rear-end auto accident cases that we were defending, and actually obtained defense verdicts on 22 of those. So we now are a little bit more of a general practice, but that's kind of how I started and where I came to be where I am today.
That's fascinating. So tell me, on a day like this in Orange County here, do you wish you were back in Texas?
Never.
the worst day in Orange County is
better than any day in Texas as far as I was concerned.
Larry, tell us a little bit more about your firm, when it started, and a little bit more about what you're doing today.
Well, as I stated earlier, we started in 1993, and we're just a general trial law firm, primarily working through the insurance industry. Somebody has insurance, they get sued over something that may have happened, everything from slipping and falling to an auto accident. They retain attorneys, and we're one of those firms that is retained. We do primarily, or at least my practice is primarily in the auto and trucking industry, representing a lot of the dealers that are insured, as well as individual truckers and trucking firms. So I'm always defending someone who has been sued.
Okay. Do you prefer to be on that side of the lawsuit?
You know, I think we all have our own individual bents as to what we are, and I think my my particular personality is a little bit more on that side, although I very much respect the plaintiff's bar. But I pretty much am one of those who likes defending someone.
Well, I'm glad we have people like that. Larry, you know, there's one question that we ask all of our guests here on the show, and in the 70-some interviews we've done so far this year, we've never had a duplicate answer. So the question is, what particular experience or key lesson have you learned that you'd like to share with our audience?
I think probably the one thing that I've learned is you better be honest and upfront from the get-go in dealing with your clients. I get files sent to me with preconceived ideas and notions as to who's at fault, what's happened, what's it's worth, that type of thing. Most of the time, especially with someone, I've been doing this for 35 years, you kind of understand when the people are wrong, and it's best to confront it right away and say, I think we have a problem here. I think this is a different direction we may be needing to go. If you just run up a defense and hoping to do what they want you to do, but having to bite the bullet at the end and pay it anyway, it does not help you in the long run. So I think probably the thing I've learned most is don't just always do what you think the client wants you to do because they're always right. you got to do what you know down the road is going to be the right thing to do.
Okay. Larry, do you, I've always been curious about this, do you handle all requests that come to your office, or do you sometimes find yourself deciding that this particular case is not one you'd like to be involved with?
I handle everything that comes to my office where I do not have a conflict. And there's been many a time where I wish I didn't have to, but to me, that's my job, and probably have a few good examples of those if you had the time.
Well, you may not want to share them on the air here. So tell us a little bit. What's your philosophy in handling a litigation case when it comes to your office?
I think the very most important thing we can do is really to sit down with the client. I can't say we always do that. In our line of business, when cases come in, we're just really reviewing paper. It's usually been investigated through and by an insurance company with outside investigators. So we have a police report, or we have a OSHA report, something that has gone over the accident. So we know a lot of the facts. But until you really sit down with your client, go out there, look at it, see what they're doing, you really don't have a real feel for what is going on. One of the comments an old lawyer gave me many, many years ago, and I think he's absolutely right, and that is the most important thing is that you have a triable client, far more important than a triable case. And I was in Beverly Hills yesterday. I'm supposed to go to trial, and we ended up settling it, but the court made a comment to me at that time that Beverly Hills jury, she said, was very, very favorable on damages for the defendant. But if you had a client they did not like, they would be very generous. And I think you need to size up, in many respects, your client, and then at least, if you meet them early on, to work with them so that you can make them a triable client by the time you may end up getting to trial. The other thing I think I like to do is just make contact with the opposing counsel, get to meet them. And I think through that process, a lot of times you can sit down and resolve a case. And I happened to get a new file in last week where I knew the lawyer, called the carrier and said, I know this guy, and they were having some trouble with him. I said, what is it you really want to do? I called him up and said, I know you're having a problem with the carrier, but I'm on the case now. Do you think we can do it in this range or for this amount? And 2 days later, the case was resolved. So I think it's that kind of an approach that helps your client resolve a case, not have to spend a lot of money, nor the emotional part of having to go through a lawsuit.
You know, it's interesting to hear you mention that, because having been involved in a few business cases, it's always a little upsetting to have your attorney, who you expect to go to the death with the opposing counsel, then when there's a break or lunch, they walk over and they're long lost buddies and talking and chatting. And, you know, as the client, you're wondering, well, wait a minute, I hate them.
Yes.
You know, why are they being friends? Aren't you, you know, and what I hear you saying is just the opposite, that in fact that works to the client's advantage.
Well, what's that old adage about having your keeping your friends close and your enemies closer? You can't resolve something. You can't do the best for your client unless you have that relationship with your adversary. And it doesn't always work. Sometimes you are bitter enemies. But the more often when you can at least build a relationship with them, you can keep your client's emotions away from it and do what's best for them.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. How has your area of law practice changed since you started the firm, and maybe even more important, due to the recent economic downturn? What's the impact time and the economy has had on the way you practice law?
I think, as I said earlier, I've been practicing for 35 years now, so I've probably seen trends. And a downward turn in the economy generally is helpful for my business. One of the few maybe that it is. But I think when the economy has a downturn, when people lose their jobs, And they're sitting at home, and there's maybe a fender bender, or they slip and fall at the grocery store, or do some of these types of things. There's more of a tendency to focus on your injury and on the event because you're not getting up and going to work in the morning. So the tendency, I think, is that you would go seek medical treatment early on instead of waiting and maybe having it heal on its own, and pretty soon you got a doctor's bill and meet your attorney at a party or something. And so I think there's more litigation simply because there's more availability of time. And if somebody doesn't have a job to go to, you don't go get a chiropractic treatment if you're making $22 an hour and need to get to work every day. And you tend to heal on your own and not focus so much on that. Probably a defense perspective there, I apologize. But it just seems that more lawsuits are filed during a down economy in my business, which means I have to defend more of them.
Okay. And how about overtime? Has there been much of a change over the years from when you first started to the way the courts are handling things these days?
When I first started, I remember going up to the Los Angeles court, Department 1, and to answer ready for trial. I would be up there, and there would be 200 cases maybe answering ready that day for 20, 30 departments. And the chances of getting out, there were times where I would answer ready 7, 8 times. You would get put on a beeper finally. And there were times I wore a beeper for 5 months, then got called in and the case was continued. And pretty soon it would be a year and a half later and you'd forgotten what the case was about. Nowadays, and it happened, I guess 10 years ago or so, they went to a fast track program. And probably the biggest change I have seen has been number one, in a fast track, which means once you get your case filed, your case has to get to trial within 1 year. And the courts hold pretty true to that. So it really speeds up discovery, and it means you can't handle as many files because you have to do them a lot quicker. So I think that's probably one of the biggest changes. The other one is probably the use of what we call ADR, Alternative Dispute Resolution, and that's trying to use ways outside of the court to resolve your dispute. The courts now pretty much send you out for a mediation and or an arbitration. Used to be primarily arbitrations, now it's mediation. The difference is an arbitrator listens to both sides, makes a ruling. A mediator sits in the middle of both sides, and you usually are going from room to room, and he tries to work out an agreement between the parties. I would say that 95% of our cases now are resolved through the alternative dispute resolution process. And so it saves a lot of time. You can sit for 1 day with a mediator and resolve a case. Recently, I had one where the demand was over $1 million. We were at $100,000, a very big disparity. And, you know, 8 hours later, the case is resolved, you know, for a little over $200,000. So in 1 day, we did something that would have taken 6 or 7, maybe 8 days in front of a jury. So at a great, you know, savings and cost to be able to go through a mediation process.
You know, there may not be a simple answer to this, but if I was your client, what's the advice as to jury or ADR?
I would always try ADR first. I would always, and I think the other thing, and one of the questions you asked me earlier about my philosophy, is trying to get it in front of a neutral, we call it, a person who can sit and listen to you and help you resolve your case as early on as possible. And many of my insurance carriers now are sending me files not too long after the accident occurred and before litigation is filed and saying, can you help us try to resolve this? And we will set up an appointment with an ADR neutral and just sit down without any formal discovery, which is depositions and the written discovery, which is very, very both time consuming and expensive, and we'll just sit down and hash it out. And I don't think the success rate is quite as great on those, but it is still very, very high, where we're able to resolve a case without any litigation having ever been filed. So the litigation cost is generally just a day, day and a half to review the file, to get there, to sit down, and to discuss it. And a lot of times we can do that with the carrier on telephone stand, or just listening on the telephone and participating over the telephone, so they don't have to go out of their office as well. So it's been a tremendous impact on our industry, and I would always encourage anybody to do that first, you know, even if the lawsuit hasn't been filed.
Okay. And what is your feeling about, young attorneys coming into business today? I mean, is this a good field to get into? Is it a field that's saturated with people and not as attractive a career for people coming out of school? What's your feel for the opportunities today?
I think in law, the opportunities aren't as great as they were a few years ago. I think their downturn in the economy in a lot of the areas of law have really hurt. I think primarily in issues such as real estate transactions, things like this. A lot of firms have, and even in the banking and financial world, just have had to let a lot of lawyers go. Meanwhile, as I said, our end of the business actually has increased a little bit. So workers' compensation type claims, insurance-related claims, are probably the firms looking right now. I've actually added an attorney and a part-time attorney and a couple assistants this year, which is, you know, good for the economy, but it's hard to absorb some of those costs in. You just need to get that work done. So for young lawyers who have a desire to want to litigate and want to take part in the deposition process and the trial process, I think it's a great field. I have a couple young lawyers, young female lawyers, who are just really doing a tremendous job and seem to have a gift and knack for it, and really have won the hearts, I think, of our clients and the efforts that they're doing. So they're very young. They have an aptitude for being able to stand up in front of people arguing cases, making sound decisions, you know, as to who's going to be responsible for this and what the damages are going to be. So I think it's a good profession. I think in any profession, if you're good and you love it and it's what your heart says you want to do, I think you're going to find the job and you're going to do well.
Okay, good advice. What kind of advice would you give to business owners today who may find themselves in litigation situations?
I think the best advice that anybody would give to business owners is seek the lawyer before you get into trouble. So often we get called after decisions have been made without consulting attorneys, and then now what do I do? So probably having, and I think the bigger corporations and bigger businesses, that isn't such an issue, but a lot of the smaller companies and let's say 10 million and under type companies, a lot of times don't want to spend the expense up front. So I think the best thing you can do, number one, is probably seek that advice first. The other thing, if you are in litigation, I think too many people that I have had to kind of either counsel or defend, people from my community who own small businesses, my church, things like that, they feel so wronged by being sued. It's like it's a personal attack. And I think because I've been doing this for so long, it's a business. And just as they're in the business of making a product, there's a business of suing and defending lawsuits, trying to protect the rights of people and of organizations. So I think it's not to take it personally, to realize that maybe the best thing I can do is swallow some of my pride, see if I could sit down and resolve the issue. Sometimes issues can be resolved with as much as an apology, which I have done, a letter of apology or a promise I won't do that again. Instead of hiring a lawyer, filing an answer, and getting caught up in that legal battle that just becomes very, very expensive. So I think to really analyze it without the emotion and then see if they can't get it resolved. The only exception, I guess, I would find to that is probably from my fraud background. Sometimes you are truly just being defrauded, And when that's the case, I always think you fight fraud. You don't let that kind of person win, and you do fight them. But seek the common ground with your opponent. Try to find out what it is, why it is. And generally, you can find that one little kind of thread that's running through the whole dispute as to what really caused it. Most of the time, you shouldn't get sued if you could just sit down and talk about it and talk through it. So get your emotion out of it and kind of seek that common ground with your other side, and then just sit down and see if it can't be worked out. And I guarantee you a few dollars up front is going to save you thousands and thousands down the road.
Okay, good advice. You know, you mentioned earlier, Larry, that, one of the most significant things in recent years has been this requirement that a case be brought to trial within a year. Are there other things that, you see that, you know, from at least your perspective, would have a huge impact on, the courts today if you could change it?
Well, I don't think I was ready for that question.
I think one of the things that
we're really seeing now is, along with this case having to be heard within a year, cases are assigned to a judge from the outset, and that judge handles it all the way through. That has been a tremendous impact, too, because it allows a judge to become familiar with the case and to stay with it. It used to be whatever hearing you had would be assigned to a different judge, and they would have to familiarize themselves with it. I think because one judge is hearing it now, it would really be cost-saving for my clients if we didn't have to show up in court so much. And I think there are certain status conferences and other conferences that we have that I think can be done just simply over the telephone, which is starting to become more and more in vogue, where we don't have to physically drive someplace and spend 3-4 hours to be heard for 10 minutes. You know, and you're out of the office, you got a bill for your time. I think that would be a real cost-saving for everyone, and so much of it is more ministerial than it is legal. So I think that would be a benefit where we could sit back in our office and get the work done instead of just, you know, having to travel and do that type of thing. I think another thing, and I would be really, really hotly disputed by somebody on the other side of the bar, litigation has become so expensive. I think if there was some way where we could have legal fees awarded to the winner of a case, it's a very difficult concept, but you spend $50,000, $60,000 to defend and win a case, but you've still spent $50,000, $60,000, a lot of time, a lot of emotion, and in all you get out of it as a defense attorney is a win. You know, they don't have to pay for all that time and effort you did. And the company that had to defend itself doesn't get anything other than the satisfaction they won. I think if there was a way we could probably fairly and equitably apportion attorney's fees to the winner, I think that would be a big benefit, probably very cost-saving, and prevent people from filing what we call a frivolous lawsuit, or really at least questioning, do I really want to do this?
You know, those are two great ideas. I mean, the teleconferencing kind of situation, whether it's audio, video, I mean, if you look at businesses, more and more businesses are doing work and conducting business over the phone rather than getting on a plane and spending time traveling with the freeways the way they are.
Well, Doug,
so that would seem to be an extension.
Yeah, I just asked for counsel if they would stipulate to having a deposition on a video screen. My court reporter set it up in Utah. We had the plaintiff was up there with his attorney. Four of us sat down here and just looked at him through a video screen and asked him questions. And I think it saved all of us a ton of money and a ton of time.
Did you feel just as good in terms of you know, the ability to sort of read what the person being deposed was showing?
From the standpoint of looking at the screen, yes. There's a lot of times, just from what happens at breaks, watching somebody walk to the restroom, a lot of those things all give you information and a sense and a feel for people. But I didn't think that it was that significant at all.
Okay. And the other thing I know from my own point of view is the ability to not have to spend all that money sometimes for attorney fees when you've been sort of wronged by a suit that really had no basis to begin with, but somebody had the money to sue you. That certainly sounds like a logical idea. So, is there anything else, Larry, about your organization that we haven't talked about today that you'd like to talk about, like to say to our audience before we sign off here?
You're talking to a trial lawyer. I could probably talk about a lot of things and a lot of things I would like to say. I think what I would try to emphasize more than anything else probably is that people, you know, just the general opinion is they hate lawyers. I think they need to realize that on both sides of the bar, we are trying our best in our business to be as ethical and honest as we can. And there really are honest disputes. And, you know, it's in any kind of a situation, you feel strongly about your side. But I think it's the ability to look at the other side. Where are they coming from? What is it that they're feeling, they're sensing? A lot of my friends are on the other side of the bar. I don't always agree with tactics and some of the stuff. Think that litigation has raised costs in our country, but I think that all in all, they really are doing a good job trying to protect certain rights, certain things. And if we did away with lawyers, I think society wouldn't be quite as good off, despite what most people would think.
Well, we'd have a lot fewer jokes to tell. I know.
Yes, that's true.
Larry, thank you very much for being with us today. And how does someone get in touch with you or learn more about your firm?
Well, we have a website, poplaw.biz, poplaw.biz. You can get on there and it has all of our contact information. I have an office also in San Diego and one in Texas. And then just anybody can just give me a call anytime they want to, as someone just did today, and more than happy to sit down and discuss anything with them free of charge, just to find out where they're coming from and what they may need.
Larry, thank you very much for being with us today and being a great guest here on Critical Mass.